The Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, how many of you all have committed that verse to heart? Amen. How many know that verse by heart? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to quote it together. Okay. Are you ready? Now watch this. All right. Ready? Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él crea no se pierda mas tenga vida eterna. Juan 3:16. That's Spanish, amen? But that's the same verse. Let's do it in English now. Y'all ready now? Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for our people that have gathered around the Word of God and the songs of Zion this evening. God, how I pray Your richest blessings on each one. I pray, Lord, tonight as we look into the Word of God, that the Word of God would look into us. And God, that You would, Lord, just help us tonight, Lord, to be changed even as from glory to glory. Lord, You said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And God, I pray You just have liberty tonight to work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, especially tonight for Brittany. I ask You, Father, just to speak to her heart. Help her, Lord, to come to know Jesus. Lord, be sure to appreciate Your blessings on the service this morning. Would You bless us with Your presence again? We'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Talking about the Spanish language, there's a lot of people that speak Spanish in our area. How would you like to learn a little phrase? Anybody? A little phrase? Say Jesus. Help me say it. Jesus. Okay. Now say Te Ama. Jesus Te Ama. You just told somebody Jesus loves you in the Spanish language. And if I couldn't tell them anything else, it'd be good to be able to tell them that. Say amen. Jesus loves you. I learned that one verse, that's all the Spanish I know, except for si. And that just means yes. But I learned that one verse when I went to Mexico, John 3:16. I was giving people tracts, and I couldn't say a word to them, Brother Fred. And I got off, and I had a preacher to teach me that verse in Spanish. I said, I want to be able to tell them something from God's Word. Amen. I would quote that verse of Scripture, and I would say the word comprende. That means, do you understand? They say, sí, sí, señor. Amen. I call it hillbilly Spanish. Amen. But anyway, it got the job done. I want to preach tonight and continue and maybe finish the message tonight, we hope, on God still loves the world. We looked this morning at Nicodemus and we said that God can still change the religious. That person that's religious but not saved, God can still change their life. You know, tonight, you might say, preacher, how does that even apply in our generation? Let me ask you something. How many of you are aware that most of us are bad to just write off the Jehovah's Witnesses? We just write them off. Am I right or am I wrong? Or if a Mormon comes along, do you understand that that's a soul that our Lord loves and died for? Amen? Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, there's all kinds of religions, not just the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but even in our day, God wants us to get a hold of the truth that God still loves the world. He can still change that religious person and give them a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Catholic organization, there are priests and then even among the Jews, there are people that are blinded to the truth of Jesus Christ. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. And we have missionaries that are called to a group of people. They're not going to see a great number of converts, but thank God if they see one, it will be worth it all. Amen. And so tonight, God wants us to see that He can still change the religious person. He shows us that through the life of Nicodemus. I'm not going to say a whole lot about that if you weren't here this morning. I will say this, Brother Richard and Brother Jim, they make all the CDs available. So there's a little box out there if you didn't get it this morning, then I would encourage you to do that if you want to get the entire message. Tonight I want to look after verse 16. In the middle of this chapter here, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now look at verse 17 down through verse 21 for just a moment. The Bible said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I love that. In other words, a lot of people have got it a little bit mixed up. Look at verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in that number tonight. "But he that believeth not," look at these two words, "is condemned already." In other words, they're not awaiting condemnation. This youngin that's not saved, not awaiting condemnation, but she's condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now watch the condemnation. Look at verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Let me ask you a question. Some of you all were saved at a young age, no doubt. How many in this building that was saved, let's just say before you were 12 years old? Is there anybody? Not me. Okay, there's several. All right? How many of you were saved in your teenage years? Okay? That's still not me. How many were saved in their 20s? I was saved in my 20s. Amen? All right, how many were saved in your 30s? And in your 40s? And in your 50s? Anybody saved in their 50s? Thins out, don't it? 60s? 70s? It thins out big time. Say amen right there. So, Brother Brian, the Sunday school is important. It's very important. Amen? We're getting ready to start a children's church here in a few weeks. And the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is important to the children. Amen? And it's very important. But what I want to say tonight is that some of you all, you may not have known a whole lot about what I'm going to preach about. We're all condemned already. When we come to that age where we're no longer doing wrong just because it's in our nature, but we come to that age because we're doing wrong, because we're choosing to do wrong. We know it's wrong, and we choose to do wrong. Amen? I believe when we do that, then we become accountable. Amen? And God can speak to our heart, and we can be saved by the grace of God. I want to say this tonight. This right here is talking about the rebellious. God can still change the religious, but God can still change the rebellious. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? How many remembers when you loved darkness rather than light?" Amen? You didn't just try to put up with it or endure it, but you loved it. Amen? And you walked in darkness because you chose to walk in darkness. You didn't want people that knew Jesus around you. Would somebody say amen? You didn't want them witnessing to you. You didn't want them preaching to you. You didn't want them reading the Bible to you. You didn't even want to take one of their gospel tracts. But thank God, thank God, thank God, God can change the life of a rebellious individual just like you can a religious individual. The Bible, I believe, first of all, I believe there's a little bit of rebellion in every one of us. Amen. Somebody said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, just put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. Amen. You're going to find out a little something about the sin nature in just a few minutes. I can remember when I was little, I can remember my dad bought me an electric train set. It wasn't one of those miniature sets. I would say, from what I can understand, the miniature sets cost a lot more money. Mine had the big engine. I mean, the engine was as long as my Bible is tall. And I can remember I didn't get to use it, but about a month. And my brother took it outside, and he put it on a rock, and he took another rock. Amen. And he crushed it. You say, where does that stuff come from? Read your Bible. Amen. At least he didn't kill me. Amen. He just killed the engine. Amen. At least he didn't kill me like Cain did to Abel. But there's that rebellion. And I want you to understand that sometimes I think, listen to me carefully. We see these youngins running around and they got a hole that you could throw a golf ball through in their ear. Say amen. And it's representing the rebellion that's in this generation. But we need to understand there's a God in heaven that still loves them. He's looking beyond their earrings and beyond their tattoos. And he's looking beyond their haircut. And he's looking at their heart. And he loves them. Amen. I praise the Lord tonight. God still loves the world. He loves the religious. And he can change them. But he loves the rebellious. And he can change them too. Brother Wayne, if we didn't believe that, we'd never go back to jail and preach again. I'm telling you, that jail is full of rebels. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. The average church house today is too. Amen. I say amen right there. It won't hurt a bit. Amen. I'm saying the average church house has got rebels in it too. God help us, amen, to understand that our Lord loves those people that have rebelled against Him, that want to walk in darkness, and He's still wanting them to come to the light and be saved by the grace of God. Just a couple of things about this tonight, and we'll move on. In this God changing the religious, they can go from a religion that's empty to a relationship that's full. But I'm going to tell you what I've seen God do. I've seen God take people that love darkness and cause them to love light. Amen. I've heard people in this church, I believe, testify. The things that I used to love, I hate. And the things that I used to hate, I love. You say, what happened, preacher? I tell you what. The love of God came through. Amen. God loved them and changed them for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. God's love can still change the rebellious. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, He can take that gloom of condemnation and turn it into a glorious salvation. Amen. How many remembers when it got dark around where you live? The clouds begin to hang low because of the sin in your life. Amen. And, oh, I thank God, I can't sing it, but I thank God I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more at night. He said, preacher, what happened? He loved me in spite of my rebellion. That's what happened. Amen. My grandfather prayed for me. In spite of my rebellion, my grandfather despised long hair on a man. He despised it, but he never said a word to me about it. He just kept praying for me. He just kept praying for me. I like what Brother Leonard Fletcher said the other night. He was talking about it, something that needed to be dealt with. Somebody come to him in his church and told him about a situation that needed to be dealt with. And he said, preacher, you going to straighten him out? Brother Leonard said, have you ever seen the people that I straightened out? He said, if you'd ever see them one time, said you wouldn't want me to straighten them out. He said, I'm going to pray for them. And he said, I'm going to let God straighten it out. Amen. I tell you, thank God, thank God, thank God. God is still helping us. Amen. Even when we're in a rebellious condition, He loves us. It'll take that gloom of condemnation, turn it into salvation. How many realizes that according to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How many remembers when the condemnation came off of you? Amen. And I thank God that there's a chapter in the Bible that begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. I'll never be separated from Him. Amen. Shall death or life or principalities or powers or things present, things to come, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. God loves and can still change the rebellious. Amen. Let me give you just a couple of things right now. Not only a gloomy condemnation can turn into a glorious salvation, but a life filled with sin can turn into a life freed from sin. Now don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong right here. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. But I tell you what I am preaching. Romans chapter 6 says, then when you get saved, sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. That's what it says. Amen. I believe that. The Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Don't you? Thank God I am free. I think one of the choirs sang that. Or maybe our choir. Free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Listen tonight. God can change that one. Thank God you hath He quickened. He said, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Let me just give you three things right here out of verse number 16 to the rebellious real quickly. First of all, this change is offered by a loving Father. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. It's
offered by a loving Father. How many believes that? He remembers when he finally convinced you that in spite of you, He loved you. Hallelujah. Amen. None of us deserve to be loved. Amen. He loved every one of us in spite of us. And let me just say this. I hope this don't bust anybody's bubble. But He still has to love us in spite of us. Amen. Thank God He does. It comes through a loving Father. But then not only is this change offered by a loving Father, but this change is experienced through a living faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. They'll say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, Paul said it like this. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's a faith that's alive and well. The Bible said that whosoever believeth, whosoever. I like the song Brother Ralph that said, whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me. Thank God there come a day when I realize I could put my name right there. And if I would believe on Him, He'd save me by His wonderful grace. Amen. It's, my friend, offered by a loving Father. It's, this change is experienced through living faith. But let me give you something else. This change ensures a lasting future. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you something right now. If a person's able at all, they're going to have some kind of insurance. Right? If you're able at all, you're going to have some kind of life insurance. Ain't that right? Some kind of health insurance. If you're able, amen. Some kind of car insurance. That's the law, I think, amen. If you drive a car, part of that privilege, amen, is you got to have some insurance, amen. But let me tell you something right now. I've got an insurance plan that's out of this world. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what's the premium? Done been paid at Calvary. Hallelujah. I have eternal life tonight. Amen. I'm going to live as long as God lives. I'm going to live with Him. I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to be alive forevermore because of what He did for me on Calvary. You say, preacher, you get excited about God saving the religious. Yeah, I guess because I was one of them. You get excited about God saving the rebellious. Yeah, I guess because I was one of them. Amen. I can remember. I thank God for these young'uns that are here tonight. But let me say, I can remember in the high school days, 5 or 6, sometimes 7 teenagers would join hands around the flagpole and pray. The high school had 2,000 students in it. And 5 to 6 to 7 is all you could find. But I'm going to tell you what, them young'uns don't know how it spoke to this old boy's heart. I'd go by and I didn't want to be identified with them, Brother Gary Joe, but I knew they had something I needed. Amen. I was too cool for that. Amen. Fixing to burn in hell if God hadn't saved me. Amen. By His grace. But thank the Lord tonight. Thank the Lord tonight that God did save me by His grace. Why? Because God still loves the rebel. And God still loves the religious. Amen. And I praise Him for that tonight. Let me give you this tonight in closing. I used to tell them in the last church I pastored down in Carter's Valley, when I used the words in closing, if you got excited, you're probably a visitor. Amen. But let me give you this last thing in closing, seriously, tonight. And that is this third thing. Not only God's love can still change the religious. How many believes that? How many of you had some form of religion before you got saved? Anybody besides me? Amen. But I tell you what, the Holy Ghost woke you up, didn't He? He let you know there's something more to this thing than religion. Maybe the relationship. So how many had some form of rebellion going on? Amen. Before you got saved. Thank the Lord. He saves them old rebels. But watch this. Here's something for us tonight, church. In verse 22, down through verse number 26, I'm not going to read it all tonight. But I want to say this. God's love can not only change the religious, and God's love can not only change the rebellious, but God's love can change the righteous. You say, oh, preacher, You mean the righteous need to be changed? You'll understand in just a minute. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm talking about people that are born again. I'm talking about people like John the Baptist. That's what we're looking at here. He said, preacher, what do you see in this passage? Well, I see that God can change a religious man from religion to relationship. He can change a man that's rebellious from darkness to light. But can I tell you this? God can change a righteous man from living for himself to living for his Savior. You say, preacher, where did you find that? How many of y'all know some Christians live for themselves? Amen. I talked to a man yesterday evening. I would not dare say where, but I tell you what, he stood there and he told me this and he told me that and he told me this, what I'd like to do and I'd like to do and I'd like to do, and he never, never, ever one time mentioned the Lord. Itis will kill a Christian. He said, preacher, I don't understand where you're going in that scripture. How about this? John said, he must increase. I must decrease. I believe with all of my heart. Listen, there ain't but one thing that would cause a man, Brother Joe, to say, it's him, it's not me, it's him, it's not us. And that is the love of God. Bring us to a place in our life where it's not about us, but it's about Him. It's not about me increasing, but it's about Him increasing. The Bible said He must increase. I must decrease. Colson, help me a little bit. Amen. That's all right, son. I'll give you a Bible and turn you loose after a while. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Let me give you something tonight. Just a couple of things right here I believe will help us as the children of God. Listen, He's still working on me. Sanctification is a process. You know, let me illustrate something. I thought about this a while ago while y'all were singing the song. The song is right. I have been redeemed. But watch this. I am being redeemed. And thank God I'm going to be redeemed. He said, now, preacher, I don't understand that. Now watch. I have been redeemed the penalty of sin. Thank God I'm not going to have to pay sin's penalty. It was paid in full at Calvary. But I am being redeemed from the power of sin. But thank God one day I'm going to be redeemed from the very presence of sin. Where I'm going, there's no sin, there's no suffering, there's no sorrow, there's no liars, no whoremongers. None of that stuff is going to enter in where I'm going. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. God wants to change us, the righteous. You say, preacher, what do you see here? Watch this. What's God want to make us? What's He want to do? How many knows? I believe I quoted a scripture a little while back and I needed help getting started on it. I'm going to need help again. Romans 12:1. Somebody help me. How's it start? Romans 12:1. How's it start? I beseech you therefore, brethren. Thank you, church. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the way, let me just say something right here. I'm not going to run this rabbit too far. I'll just go ahead and pull the trigger when it gets to going down the first trail. The Bible didn't say God's will was good or perfect or acceptable. How many knows there's a difference in the word or and the word and? God's will is good and it's perfect and it's acceptable. Amen. I ask a man, because I love the man that I was talking with, I said, sir, I want to ask you a question. I said, are you absolutely sure you've been born again? He said, yes, sir, I'm sure. Then I asked him this question. I said, are you faithfully in your Bible? He said, no, sir, I couldn't say that. You know what will give us iitis? Laying our Bible down. Amen. You know what will cause us to increase and Him to decrease? Laying our Bible down. Laying our prayer life down. Not watching our church attendance. Amen. Listen, it's God for the faithful folk here at Bible Way. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You're helping yourself. Say amen. When you decide to be faithful to the house of God, God's going to help you to do what John the Baptist did and say, hey, He must increase and I must decrease. If you belong to a church that's pumping you up and not Him, you belong to the wrong church. And by the way, that's all a lot of this old contemporary junk does, is pumps up the flesh. Live in your sin and go home and feel good about it. Amen. God help us. Say, preacher, what we got here? Three things hurriedly. Number one, if we'll do what the Bible said here and let God's love change us, it'll cause us to be a friend to the Savior. John said right here, he said, he that hath the bride's the bridegroom. He said, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth in him, he rejoiced greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John said, hey, I'm not him, but I'm his friend. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Glory to God. We get to. We don't have to. We don't got to. We get to, Brother Wayne, be a friend of the Lord Jesus. And then we get to be a friend. How many knows what happens when you get to be a real good friend of the Lord Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. You see if you don't agree with me. Brother Law, we get to be real good friends with Him. We start being good friends to sinners. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He ate with them. Now you got to be careful. There's a line. You can't go. You can't yoke up with them. There's a difference between yoking up and being a friend. How many's glad you had a friend that loved Jesus before you got saved? Say amen. I had a man in Wise County, Virginia. His name was Charlie P. Charlie Parsons was his name. I had that man. He would come up there to church. He would help me around the church like our deacons have helped me this summer and other men as well. And work and work and work. And I tell you what, the man did not even know Jesus. But he didn't cuss and he didn't drink and he didn't, I mean, he had more morals about him than a lot of God's people do. And I sat Charlie down one morning early by the coal stove and I said, Charlie, I need to talk to you. It was the month of February. He and I were getting ready to go shoot in an archery tournament. We'd take my boy about that tall. He shot the Cubs and I shot the men's league and I kept enough money, to keep us in bows and arrows and gas to get there. Amen. We had a good time. Well, Jeremy had a release. He would shoot. They called a Stanislavski. You just roll it like that and you never knew when it was going to go off, Brother Brian. But you just hold that pin and roll it. That boy of mine, when that bow went off at release, he just lay it in the leaves. They nicknamed him Smooth Tater. He was good. Amen. I liked it. Amen. I enjoyed spending time with him and doing that with him. Charlie was one that liked to shoot. He was good at it too. I don't know if you ever got to know him when you was up there, Brother Gary. He lived right out the road from the church, not four or five houses from the church. But anyway, when I got ready to leave up there, Charlie didn't like it. A sinner man and a woman man across the road didn't like it either. They're sinner people. They hated it because I was leaving. But you know what I told Charlie? I said, Charlie, I said, someday, son, I believe you're going to get saved. And I said, when you do, I want to hear about it. And one Tuesday night, Hannah, the phone rang. Charlie stuttered. I'm not making fun of him. He tells me that he stutters because he made fun of a boy when he was little that stuttered. And he stuttered ever since. That's the truth. That's what he tells me. Amen. I'm not making fun of Charlie. But I'm just telling you immediately when I answered the phone, I knew who it was. He said, hello, brother. Charlie ain't never called me brother. He's called me preacher man. He's called me Rick. but he had never called me brother. I said, Charlie, is that you? He said, yeah, it is. I said, Charlie, you got saved, didn't you, son? He said, yeah, I did. Amen. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, hallelujah. When you're a friend to the Savior, you'll be a friend to sinners. You won't set in condemnation on them. You won't sit looking down your nose at them. You'll realize that's where I was. That's where he found me. And he wants to pick him up out of that mess too. Amen. I see a friend. He was a friend to the Savior. But all not only that, he'll not only make us a friend to the Savior, but he gives us fellowship through the Spirit. He said, preacher, where did you find fellowship? The Bible said here, he rejoices greatly. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You know why there's not more rejoicing going on in our generation than there is? I'll tell you why. Because there's no more people walking in the Spirit than there is. When you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to rejoice a little bit along the way. Amen. You're going to have to, you know, different people, different ways. Some people never shed a tear, and that's all right. But I tell you what, when you really walk in the Spirit, you're going to be thankful. And you're going to rejoice that you've got a shirt to put on your back, some shoes to go on your feet, a peanut butter cracker to eat, and a roof over your head, and you don't have to walk everywhere you go. Amen. You're going to rejoice. I believe it'll change us. God help us, Brother Ron, to be known as a church that loves the Lord and that rejoices in the good things of the Lord. And a church that's a friend to Jesus. I went yesterday and knocked on a door. Brother Brian had come in with the survey out before Bible school. I've been there once already and they wasn't home. I left them a note. Yesterday it didn't work out the visit. They were eating dinner. This lady said, we're eating dinner right now, preacher. I said, I will come back later. I'll come back at another time. He said, preacher, why would you do that? Because I just don't believe it's right. I wasn't invited in, number one. Amen. I've told people often, when you're trying to do something for the Lord, be real careful. Amen. You don't want to offend people to where nobody can talk to them. Amen. And so I'm going to get to go back. And maybe because I showed a little consideration, it'll carry some weight when I get to go back and tell them about the best friend I ever had in this world. His name's Jesus. Amen. The best friend I ever had in this world. Hallelujah. Not only do we see it'll make us a friend of the Savior, it'll help us and give us fellowship in the Spirit, but watch this, it'll also give us something else. It'll give us a fervor in our prayer life. He said, preacher, I don't understand where you got that right here. He must increase and I must decrease. You can say whatever you want to. Brother Larry, that's a praying man talking. Yep. Amen. Yep. That ain't no man that don't know how to talk to Jesus. Amen. I remember the movie, maybe some of you have seen it, Sheffy, about an old circuit riding Methodist preacher. We'll make that a movie night one night. This fall and get over in the fellowship hall and have us some popcorn and watch it. Amen. It's a good movie. Amen. I believe Billy Kelly's in that movie. And Mays Jackson might have been in it. He wasn't in it. Okay, but Billy Kelly's in it. Amen. He was the bootlegger. He's the bootlegger in that movie. Amen. It's a good movie. It really is. And this man, Sheffy, he went before one of those religious councils. He was wanting to have a tent meeting. He was wanting to have a camp meeting. He was wanting them to, have you seen it, Brother Gary? He wanted them to ordain him. And they didn't like him because he wasn't proper enough for them. They said, my Brother Sheffy, it's been said that when you pray, it's as if you actually are talking to God. He looked at him and said, well, who do you talk to when you pray? Amen. Good night. Help us, Jesus. Amen. When we pray, it ought to be as if we're actually talking to God. Because if we're not talking to Him, we're wasting our time. And when we are talking to Him, He's going to change us. He's going to give us that spirit of Lord. I'm going out of here today. Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Lord, I'm asking you to help me. Lord, I don't know where to go unless you show me. I don't know what to do unless you show me. God, I don't know what to preach unless you show me. God, I need your help. You say, what's happening? He's being magnified. He's getting bigger. And we're getting smaller. And I'm going to tell you what that is right there. That's a combination for a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. When he gets to getting real big and we get to getting real small, thank God he can do something in our midst. Amen. Bless his name. A friend. How many wants to be a friend to Jesus? Brother Sam, if they lay me out in one of them boxes before Jesus comes, I want y'all to bring that box in here, okay? Amen. And if they do, you know what? One of the greatest things could be said. May it be able to be said. Brother Rossi, that my grandchildren could walk by and say, my papa was a friend to Jesus. What else could you wish for? Amen. I want to live my life in such a way. By the way, I think it goes without saying that when you're a friend to Jesus, you're not just a friend to the sinners, but you're a friend to the saints. Let me just say something right here, church. If there's ever any kind of disagreement, just remember, we're friends. We're brothers. We be brothers. And let's remember that I'm not your enemy and you're not my enemy. And if you have a disagreement with somebody else, remember that you're not one another's enemies. That enemy's standing off in the shadows somewhere. Amen. He's trying to stir it up and tear it down. Amen. God wants us to understand. He's changing us. He's not just changing the religious. Not just changing the rebellious. But thank God. Sister, God lets us live 5 or 10 more years. Hopefully we won't be the same as we are today. We'll be a little closer. A little more like Him. Have a little more of His love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And just be able to do a little more for Him. I'm just glad you come to church tonight. What's the title of the message? I want somebody to tell me so Brother Richard gets it right. I'm just kidding you, Brother Richard. What's the title of the message? God still loves the world. He does, don't He? In that chapter, the way the Lord broke it down for me, He let me see that He still loves the religious. He still loves the rebellious. Thank God, Sister Becky, He still loves the righteous. He's patient with us too. He's not just patient with sinners. He's patient with us too. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to come in the house of God tonight, Lord, and be with Your people. I pray, dear Lord, tonight that God, You would just bless in a special way the people of God. Help us to realize, Lord, tonight that if we're unsaved, we're condemned already. But Lord, You didn't come to condemn the world. You came that the world, through You, might be saved. Lord, You didn't come to condemn Brittany this morning. You came to convict her of her sin that she might be saved. I pray, God, this evening that You'd help us to realize, Lord, that change is going to come quicker and stronger if we'll just stay in Your Word and sit at Your feet and pray to the God of heaven. Lord, help us that we might be a friend.
to Jesus. Help us that we might be a friend, not only to the Savior, but to the sinner, and be a friend to the saints along life's way.